Today's Minnesota Reads is made possible by the bookstore at Fitgers, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitgers on Superior Street, online at fitgersbookstore.com. Our guest this morning is Linda Lagarde Grover. She's a professor here at UMD, so of course we'll take credit for all her success. And she's written a novel called The Road Back to Sweetgrass, which has just been released. Linda, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's very, very nice to be here on this rainy morning, huh?
Now, fiction's a little bit tricky. It's easier to talk with authors in some ways about nonfiction because you don't have to worry about spoiling how the story's going to end. So we'll have to ask you to kind of describe briefly in general terms what the story is about and where it's set.
Well, this is a story about three young Ojibwe women. Start out young in the, I suppose, around 1970, and it goes through present time, and it takes place in northeastern Minnesota most of the time. Sometimes their lives take them to other parts of the Midwest. And the Sweetgrass in the title is it's sort of like a little township or section of a reservation. It's a fictional reservation up north.
I was pretty familiar with the names of the reservations around here, and I went, okay, wait a minute. Is this one I don't know of, or is this an imaginary one?
This is a fictional reservation. It is called Moje Point, and so it's it has similarities to the reservations up here, including my own reservation, Boys Fort, which is up north a couple hours from here. But it is fictional, and the book is fictional. But it's... The young ladies are living their lives against the backdrop of history from the 70s through now, and so they are living against the backdrop of historical events that have gone on during those times, but also the capriciousness sometimes and the brutality of federal Indian policy and how a person reacts to that and continues to survive for themselves and their family and their community.
One of the other things that I thought was interesting that I saw echoed in the book here and there was in the 1970s when the women's movement was really beginning to pick up steam. And this kind of has an effect, or at least for those of us going back and reading it now, this kind of has an effect on the lens with which you look at some of the things that were happening to them. And I'm sure that their attitudes were undergoing kind of a metamorphosis at the same time, too.
The women?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I think
I was thinking of the one character who was going to go and work as a telephone operator. The idea kind of was that this was the very best that she could ever hope for employment-wise. And that kind of, resonated to me. And I thought, that was one of the last periods of time when people were going to be told things like that.
Well, I suppose in some ways we could parallel it to the women's movement, but I have to tell you, when we're studying stages of the women's movement and of feminism, this one is kind of set at the beginning of the story, smack in the middle of what is stage two of the feminist movement, which actually, sadly, kind of... Well, we were kind of eating their dust, I have to say, in those days. But so I guess I'm not crediting the women's movement. Fine as it has been. But this is something entirely separate, I think. This has to do with tribal and and individual Native self-determination and sovereignty.
Linda, would you read just a little taste of your book for folks so they can kind of get a feel of what it's like?
Sure. I think I sounded pretty grim here in that last little bit, so I'm going to read a little paragraph that is not grim that I kind of like. So this is one that takes place like today, this little part. And this is from the section called The Power of Fry Bread. As she approached elderhood, Margie Robineau had come to be regarded as unarguably the hands-down best fry bread maker on the entire Moje Point Indian Reservation. Although she had unofficially held that title since she was 22, Indian country protocol and etiquette called for no recognition beyond that Margie, she makes pretty good fry bread, until after Annie Buck, venerable elder and longtime fry bread queen, had died. Only then, and after a decent and respectful interval, did Margie become the person to ask about the fine points of fry bread making. Baking soda, powder or yeast, commodity flour or gold medal, lard or Crisco, shortening or oil, spoon or hands, granulated sugar or powdered, rolled or sprinkled, cinnamon, honey, jelly, butter, no inquiries about margarine, maple syrup, loaded Indian tacos or fry bread plain and simple. Margie's fry bread was so light it all but rose from the plate, so tender as to be all but unfelt in the mouth, so tasty that the very thought that the moment couldn't last forever brought to the eater an undertone of sorrow that added an intangible brine, like a grain of salt from dried tears yet to be wept.
I loved that paragraph, by the way, and I will be getting back to that paragraph before we're done with our conversation here. Linda, where Stephen King wrote once, and I loved this quote. He said the character that said this line in a book was in a writing class, and people were talking about, you know, what does it mean? What does it need? You know, where does it come from in your psyche? And the character said, why does it have to be about anything? Can't a story just be a good story? And that made me think of where this story came from. Was it something inside you that you wanted to say? Or did you kind of get a brainstorm and say, this is just a good story?
Well, when I was working, I have to say, on my doctoral dissertation research, that actually, out of that is where fiction and some of my poetry, I guess, grew. And so I always wanted to write and always wanted to publish a book and always wanted to write fiction. But it wasn't really until, for me anyway, that I'd had some experience in life to write about, and a story that I felt the story itself outside of me has a need to be told. There's an urgency here, and so although this is fiction, and my other book, The Dance Boots, was too, it's fiction that is that absolutely must be grounded in the reality of an experience. But yet though sometimes these stories can be kind of difficult, at the same time there is the Ojibwe value of being thankful for everything that's been given, I think is I hope that's something that shows in these stories, I don't know, it's what I really felt needed to be put in.
Linda, I have one question that I have to ask you, and as much as I adore books and reading, and authors are put on a pedestal in my mind, and I try to respect their craft and not try to weasel secrets out of them, I've got to ask you, what is the secret to good fry bread?
To making fry bread?
Yes.
The little secret? Oh, it's in the book there, but that's my own. And so I actually wrote this little secret that Margie and I over the years came to find to be our special secret.
Well, and I've got a copy of the book here. I've got a copy of the book here, so I may go home and try this. I've never tried to make fry bread, but can you imagine how much fun I'll have eating the accidents?
Oh, it'll be lots of fun. And the recipe in the book, you know, doesn't make a whole lot, which is really good.
Well, especially in your practicing.
That's right. So it's a manageable amount. So yeah, that little tiny secret is actually in there, and it was handed down in the book from a lady who is no longer in the land of the living.
Well, what a lovely and generous gift from her, and for you to pass it along to us. Linda, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
It's been a pleasure.
Linda Lagarde Grover joined us as our guest this morning. She is the author of a novel called The Road Back to Sweetgrass. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And also by the bookstore at Fitker's, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitker's on Superior Street, online at fitkersbookstore.com.